We got a great group of people here, and while I'm preaching, if y'all just pray, because we've got five different churches, people in five different churches leading in worship this morning, that kind of thing, and then we've got a 2 o'clock service that we're doing for the Madison Mon congregation. So I'm going to tell you what, going to church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon is tough. Did y'all know that? That's usually back home when we're watching the NASCAR race and taking a nap till it's over, you know, that kind of stuff. You wake up when the last 10 laps come and you're good. So, but it's great to be here. But we're excited about being up here and really excited about the opportunity this afternoon to share in the block party with you folks again. And it was awful fun to get wet with you yesterday and to get to know you a little bit better and to share the opportunities that God gives us, because He really is good. And for those who are visiting not from North Carolina, welcome. We're glad you're here too. And so it's a great congregation, great group of people here in this place. Let me say one other thing. I know that your church is in a lot of transition, looking for an interim pastor, and then going to be looking for a pastor. And we're certainly going to be praying for you. I've got 12 churches in our association looking for pastors at this point, and it's not an easy process, but it's God's already got the man and his family to lead you picked out. Do you know that? And so it's up to you to search out his will and seek his way and to get on the same page with him, and he'll bring it together. And it works. It really does if we honor him in that way. And also, you've got a great friend in Mark Millman and the Baptist Association here. And so lean on him. Mark just does a fantastic job. He really does. And so you're fortunate to have a partner like him and somebody who will support you and help you in any way. So I encourage you to look to him to do that. And we'll certainly be praying for you in this process as well. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to the Exodus chapter 40. And I want to read to you verses 34 through 38 of that passage of Scripture. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning for just a few minutes, the church on the move. And it's an interesting passage of Scripture. Some people probably wouldn't think of this as being a church on the move type thing, but this is one of my favorite things that we see here. And it just tells us what God certainly wants to do with us in our individual lives and in our church life as well, as He is the one who certainly leads us and guides us. And this is coming to the end of Moses' time here. We see he's brought the people out. He's built the tabernacle that was their place of worship. It was their place of meeting. And these are some final instructions. And we see the glory of the Lord fill that tabernacle. And it's really interesting to see. It says in verse 34, "And then the cloud," which is really talking about the Spirit, "covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Don't you imagine that was an amazing thing? Yeah, wouldn't that be? That's just awesome. That's what ought to happen every Sunday, every time we get together here in our churches, no matter where we are. And it says that Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. Pray with me a second. Father, we thank you so much for this day and for the opportunity we have to worship you. And Father, as we have sensed your presence and your glory in the singing and the prayers and giving through this message, through the testimony that we've just heard, I pray, Lord, that we will also experience your fullness in our lives. And help us to determine right now to say yes, whatever you call us to do, as a result of being in your presence today, in this place of God. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. You know, it's really interesting, the day and time in which we live, we like everything to be portable where we live, don't we? And all the things that we have around us, we like for it to be portable. I think the tabernacle that we find here in the Old Testament is really an interesting thing that most people would love in our day and time, because in essence, I would call it a portable church. That's exactly what it was. It was a place, it was a meeting place, it was a place that God designed, that he had the Moses to build by divine instruction, so it would be a place of worship for him. And it would also be a place that would sit right in the middle of the encampment of all the tribes of Israel to illustrate to them forever that what God wanted was to be in the center of everything that they were and who they were. And then as they were to move on their wanderings, their wilderness wanderings, and all the journeys for the rest of their life, God says, you know, the very best thing for you is that while you're going to be on the move, and he calls all of us to be on the move, recognize that I am with you, and move when I call you to, and stay put when I tell you to stay put. In other words, God is the one who has given us direction in our life, and we need to follow him. So that portability is special. Everything we have nowadays is portable in many different ways. We have radios, we have televisions, we have grills. You know, I saw a coming through Shelby, where we live, a motorhome the other day, and it was one of those big motorhomes that had Texas license plates. Everything's big in Texas. This was a big one. It was nice, I'm telling you. And they had the motorhome, and they turned it to stoplight, and they had a big trailer behind the motorhome, and on the back of the trailer, there was a 50-gallon grill back there, you know, charcoal grill. They're ready to go. I wondered what was inside all the rest of it. But we love it portable. We want to take everything with us. We want it movable. Even many churches that are built nowadays are just like this, and I love your church. They have the chairs where you can move them around. Not long ago, I did a wedding, probably 350 people there in Lakeland, Florida. And after we had the wedding in that place, they moved all the chairs up, set up the reception. 30 minutes later, we were eating cake and drinking punch. That's what we like, is that idea of portable, anything that is portable. And God has always wanted us to be portable. He has wanted his people to be on the move. And so many times in our lives, what we do, when even as individual Christians, and many times in a church, we get happy where we are. We like the people around us. We like all the things that are about us. We stay around our group of friends wherever we are. And we don't move out when he tells us to move out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and go out into the highways and the hedges, Jesus said, and to bring them in. And so you see, the church is something that is to be on the move. That sanctuary, that portable sanctuary, the tabernacle, if you can let me call that, that tent of meeting, it was a dwelling place. It was a place where God was going to meet with his people. It was a sacred and immovable tent, as we look at it. It was given to them because of the tendency of God's people, the Israelites. And also, I think in our day and time, the very same thing happens to us. It's our tendency many times that when we get away from being sensitive to the Spirit of God, we have a tendency to sin and to really fall in love with other things. You know, Moses, when he went up on the mountain and he went up there and God gave him the commandments, he was up there for just a few days. And then when he came back down, what had happened? The people were wondering, what's happened to Moses? You know, he must be dead. What's going on? He's been gone too long. And he came back down to find Aaron and all the children of Israel who have left their God. They put a golden calf up and they were singing and dancing and worshiping an idol. Isn't it interesting how easy it is for us to do that in many different ways? And many times it's a time that we really don't see how in the world it happened, but we got outside of the leading of the Spirit. And so God called Moses to start to construct this tabernacle. He gave him divine direction. What the people did is they all put their resources together. They brought the materials that were needed. It was a place where God was going to meet, and it was a dwelling place, but it was not to be stationary, because God was going to move his people for their own good. And he wanted to let them know that he was going ahead of them. And when they stayed, he was going to be with them. And if they really wanted to be his people, then they needed to follow that leading in a special way. There are a couple of things, and this is certainly a desire for me, because across our convention and certainly in our area, probably about 70% of churches are either plateaued or they're declining. Isn't that an interesting thing? And because it's in the South as well, you know, y'all probably think a lot of churches in the South are growing. Let me tell you, they're not. They're really not. because they're either declining or plateaued or declining. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not moving for Christ, then we're declining anyway. I don't think there's a plateau in there. But it's happening all over the place. And so it's important to me, and one of the things I like to share is, why, what does God expect, and how does the church get on the move? It's more than a program. It's more than having this, that, and another for everybody else. You can get a consultant to come in, and they can tell you all kinds of things that you need to do. But I want to tell you, my friends, a church will not move unless what happens in this passage of Scripture really is lived out within us. Because for a church to be on the move, the first thing I want to tell you is the moving force has to be our God. He has to be the moving force. You see in this passage of Scripture, which is absolutely fascinating, and I believe it with all of my heart, the Scripture said there was a cloud that was over that meeting place, and that cloud also was in that tabernacle and filled the glory of God. You see, that was God. It was Him. It was His Spirit, and He was showing Himself in that cloud to the people there so they could even have a visible sight of what was going on. That same cloud that helped the people move out of slavery into Egypt and helped them along their way to get away from Pharaoh and the slavery that was there and was leading them away from he and his army. And in the desert there in Egypt, you know, even on the clearest and most cloudless day, it's an amazing thing. Our God put a cloud in the sky. And it was a cloud by day. And then it says in the Scripture there was fire in that cloud at night so they could see that cloud. God was going to make it unmistakable how He was going to move. And it says when He moved and when that cloud began to move, then they were to break down that tabernacle and they were to take it and they were to lead the way and follow the cloud, follow where God was leading. And then the instruction is when that cloud was stationary, what were they supposed to do? Stay put in it. And as long as they followed God's direction, as long as they followed His leadership, then they would be in the center of God's will, and that's when things happen. You see, the people had divine direction from the very first if they would only listen to what God wanted them to do in His instruction. Isn't that the way God's always worked? It really is. And that's the way He wants to work in our life. We can go back in Scripture, see many different places in there. You remember either one thing will move when God wants us to, or many times we'll go the other way. You remember Jonah when God called him? Jonah heard the call of God to go to Nineveh because that whole area was lost, that whole city was lost. He wanted him to share His love. What did Jonah do? The cloud went this way, Jonah went that way. Have you ever done that? Most of us do this more than we do this a lot of times. Peter, as we look at him on the day of Pentecost, isn't it amazing what happened? That when the Spirit came upon that place and Peter started preaching, there was a power there that was absolutely unmistakable. And then also after that preaching, when Saul started, and you remember we talked about even in Sunday school for a few minutes this morning, the stoning of Stephen, and Saul was looking at this and was overseeing all of that. And it says, even after that, what happens to Scripture right after that? It says that Saul began to go into the churches and really pull out Christians. They were being killed. And then other Christians began to flee because of the persecution. But there's an amazing thing that happens that it says, even as they were fleeing the first persecution, in all the areas that they went, they were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even when they were running for their life from Saul, God was leading them to share His love and His grace. What an amazing thing. And then certainly we see that passage of Scripture where Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch, where God called Philip to go down a desert road. And many times we say, okay, God, this cloud's going this way. Why in the world would You want me to go down a desert road? Have you ever felt that way? What is Your reasoning behind this? Well, then he found out, because then there was this man who was coming to Jerusalem and he was reading from the book of Isaiah and he couldn't understand that the Spirit told him to go and to talk to this man. He went and explained Scripture and he became a Christian. You see what happens when we follow the leadership of the Lord. You see, the moving force of the church has to be our God. But you know what? In order for the moving force for a church to be moved, that means that you and I have to be following the leadership of the Holy Spirit because we are the church. It's not just something that's outside that's going to happen, but it has to happen inside you and me. And that's when the church will move. And the church on the move has to have two characteristics, and it will have two characteristics if the moving force is God. And the first characteristic is that it has to be a dwelling place for God. That's what the tabernacle was to be. It was to be a place where people would go and they would encounter the living God. They would go there and it would be a place where the glory of God filled that place and the people would become closer to Him. They'd build their relationship with Him. They'd put their faith in Him. They would learn about Him and they would trust in Him. And then when that cloud moved, they knew, let's go. That's it. Or when it stayed, that was okay too. But you see, to be a dwelling place for God, it has to be a place where God can inhabit. And the scripture teaches us that the only places that God can inhabit is a broken heart and then a clean and pure heart. God cannot inhabit a place that is filled with sin. There's no room in that for Him, but we have to ask Him to take away our sin as we repent of our sin and confess our sin. And then He removes it and He comes in and He fills our heart and our life. And then we're ready to move. If there's sin in our life, every time God wants to do something to you, it's going to be a battle and it's going to be fighting back and forth. But it's that heart that constantly knows that we are sinners and we stand in need of the grace of God, and we allow Him to speak to us and we live in His presence every day. That's the time that when He says move, we're ready to go. You see, a heart is furnished for His service when it's clean. It's a heart that is devoted to His honor and purpose when it's clean. And where God has a throne and an altar in your heart and your soul, then that's a living temple. Second thing is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to move us. I talk to a lot of people over time, go to a lot of churches, and one thing they want me to come is really say, "Preacher, Keith, could you come and tell us how we can get things going, how we can grow, you know, this kind of thing." And they want me to come in and give them 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, that kind of thing. That'd be nice if I had that. I'd write a book and, you know, that kind of stuff, and buy me a motorhome with a trailer and a grill on the back of it. That's what I do, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's not that easy. And when you start talking to them, I go and I talk to the church. So what is your vision for the church? Where do you see God moving you? And it's like looking at a deer in the headlights a lot of time. And they say, "We don't know. Hadn't thought about that." Most churches, if we really, really are honest about it, we think about next Sunday, and that's about it, really. But you see, we've got to allow the Spirit to move us. And there are a lot of forces that move our churches in our day and time. Economics move us because we believe that there's only so much money and that's all we can do. There are a lot of family traditions that move our churches to do certain things and not do certain things. There can be pride. "Oh, we'd never do that," or "we'd never be able to do that," or "reach those people down there. We can't do that. They're not like us." But any church that is moved by any other force than the Holy Spirit will fail to do the will of God. And they're going to be rendered ineffective for reaching Christ. But when the Holy Spirit leads us, as God showed us in that wilderness experience, then the church has to be ready to move. And then, and only then, can we be the dwelling place of God. I'm director of missions down in Shelby, and we have 89 churches in our association, which is a lot of churches. And I've been involved in our association for years. And so, before, this was never on my radar screen, you know, as far as things to do. I thought I'd be a pastor the rest of my life, and that kind of thing. But I was moderator of our association, held several positions. We got to the place in our association where we just could not meet needs that were there. And one of the reasons we couldn't meet needs is because as moderator, I was ex officio member of 33 different committees. That's all I did. I told them if I ever had a heart attack, It would be because I ate Harvey's roast beef sandwiches, because back in those days you could get five for $10 or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have for meetings. I was eating Harvey's roast beef sandwiches 5 days a week almost. And so we came to the point when our director of missions decided to leave. He was a wise man. He said, we need to just revision, rethink our whole structure, where we're going, what we're going to do. And we set out to do that about a 2-year process. And we had a lot of people who were very godly people in that process. And it was a painstaking thing because we changed the name. We changed a lot of things about who we were. But we found out what God wanted us to do and where he wanted us to go. And now, as director of missions, I don't have 33 committees. I've got 3 teams. And when God says something, you know what? Sometimes in a matter of hours, we can get people together and say, this is what God's put before us. Let's go. And they say, let's go. And it's an amazing thing. You see how we can get bogged down so many times? And then when the cloud of God is moving in front of us, we say, we can't do that. We got to have a meeting. We got to have a meeting so we can have a meeting to have a meeting and then bring it meet. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying being unwise about this, because you have to be people who really sense the Spirit. There are a lot of people that have a lot of great ideas that have nothing to do with God. But to really follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we have to be sensitive to Him and His moving every day. And then also, we have to see that moving, and it's an amazing sight to see. We have a partnership in Nicaragua, and one of my favorite stories is an experience that I had down there, and with that I'll close. But we were in Nicaragua and went to this little area, and we had church one Sunday morning in the pastor's home. And because it was the only place to meet, he had a pretty good size living room there. And it was probably about the size of this room. It's kind of amazing how big it was. And it needed to be big because he parked his car in his living room too. So, you know, it kind of doubled as a carport. And so I was sitting at the back, had plastic Walmart chairs there, you know, almost dollar store chairs in there. And also there was a doorway with just a curtain right here. That's where we were having Sunday school. And you walk through the curtain and there was a chicken up here. That's where they got eggs, roosting right up here. And there was a pig back there and a bathroom that you didn't really want to go to. And, you know, just all kinds of things going on. So I was sitting at the back. Jose Espinal, that y'all met yesterday, some of you was with me, and he was preaching. And church down there does last at least 2.5 hours. So there's plenty of time. I won't tell you the whole 2.5 hour story. But when we drove up, there were 3 people right across the street sitting on a porch of a, you know, just kind of a row houses there. There was a lady, there was an older man, a young man. And before church, we got out and met them. We gave them a Gospel of John, a booklet there. And then I just kind of figured they'd come on over to church. Anybody that lives that close to church ought to come to church, don't you think? And they were sitting outside and the doors were open, you know, that kind of thing. But they didn't come, even though we invited them. And so I was sitting at the back and taking some pictures, and I go check on the kids, that kind of thing. But while I was sitting there, after a while, this started catching my eye, those 3 people. They all started reading the Gospel of John, which I thought was pretty cool. And then there was a truck that came by and picked up the young person. He went with him. He was gone. And a little bit later, you know, there's somebody else came by and the older man left, but there was a lady that was left there. And through the course of the service, I just kind of kept watching her out of the corner of my eye. And I kept praying, you know, really, I remember thinking, Lord, why don't you just put in her heart to come on over here to church? It'd be good for her, you know, that kind of stuff. And I kept noticing her, and she'd open that Gospel of John, and she'd read a little bit, and she'd close it, you know, that kind of thing. And I'd go check on the kids and come back, and there's a chicken left church, and then there's a dog left church. And it's kind of an interesting thing, got me distracted, but I looked at her, and she'd open up this book, and then she'd read a little bit, and she'd close it. And then in the course of time, she had a Kleenex that was in her hand, and she'd open the book and she'd read a little more, and then she'd start to wipe a tear. You know what I thought there in that place? You know, I thought, well, okay, Lord, I've been praying the wrong way. I'm thinking, you know, that she's got to come across the street to get this stuff. I said, let your Spirit lead her right where she's at. That was my prayer. And she kept reading and wiping a tear, and reading and wiping a tear. After church was over, I had to go with some folks up the street to their house, talk to them a little bit. Came back down the street, and our group was getting ready to get in the vehicle that we were in to go back to Inotega. Jose and another guy came up to me and said, "Keith, you'll never believe what happened after church." I said, "What was it?" They said, "You know those Gospels of John that we handed out to folks across the street?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I think I can finish this story." They said, "You weren't here. You were up the street." I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "That lady accepted Christ, didn't she?" And they said, "She did." And you know what? It was interesting to me because I learned something that I already knew, but sometimes we forget. And that is God's Spirit can work anywhere He wants to. And I also learned something else. That when God calls us to go share His love to somebody else or to share a word about Him to somebody else, then you know what? His Spirit's already gone there and He's working in their life. And if we don't go and be faithful to Him and to back it up, what do you think's going to happen? We may miss an opportunity that they'll never have again. It's an amazing thing. That's why a church that is going to be on the move has to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is not only here in this place, but you know what? He's already working in the hearts of the folks that's going to come here this afternoon. Do you know that? He is. He's working in the hearts of people wherever they are, if we'll be listening to Him and obedient to Him. And then that's why we can come to the point where we say, "Lord, I'm not afraid anymore to be a witness. I'm not going to be afraid anymore to tell somebody, because I know that Your Spirit's gone ahead of me and You're preparing their hearts for what You want me to say. Now You just do Your work and I'll be faithful to do what You called me to do." It's an amazing thing. That's what it takes to be a church on the move. Is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let God's Spirit move you. And when He says move, you say, "Let's go." And when He says you stay put, say, "Lord, teach me right here where You're at." He's still got something to say. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in the people of Israel and seen that? I have a lot of people tell me, "Keith, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I wish He would put it on a billboard so I could read it." And you know what my saying is now? I said, "How many billboards do you go by every day that you don't even read? We'd miss it anyway." But if we'll be open to His heart, we won't miss it. We won't miss it. Because God's the only one that can speak to this heart that's given to Him. And you'll know. You'll know. And He'll begin to do great things in you. Would you pray? Father, we thank You for Your love and Your grace. And it's amazing how You move us. It's amazing how You move in our hearts and ask us, Lord, and work on us. And Father, call us to be Your children. We would not be a Christian if it weren't for Your call. And Father, it's amazing what happens in the life of our churches when we really give our life over to You and our church and our ministry over to You. And that's something that every church across America has to do and redo every week. And so, Father, I pray that this morning, if there's anything in our life that is keeping us from hearing Your voice, knowing Your leading, that we'd be willing to say, "Lord Jesus, I want to confess that. I want You to show it to me and I want to confess it. Set me free of that because I want to follow Your will and Your way. So my church can follow Your will and Your way. And so we can reach the people for Christ all around." Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. I pray that You'd call them to this altar. We'd love to speak to them here at the front and tell them how to become a Christian. What a wonderful thing that would be. And it may be that you're calling somebody to serve You here today. And you're saying, "I want You to serve me with all Your heart and all Your life." Lord, help us to say yes. So whatever You want, ever how your spirit speaks, help us to be obedient. For it's in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen.